So I suppose as part of the sort of wake-up podcast, the modern internet. So if you're now aware that the version of the nutty conspiracy theorist as seen on TV has been an absolute contradiction of reality by people who have been brainwashing you from the day you were born. And you've maybe noticed people like myself, and you maybe have thought, oh, that's like a Nigel Farage, that's a Margaret Thatcher, that's a bigot, that's a racist, that's a misogynist. And then you begin to realise that, wait a minute, these guys are standing in alliance with the people that stood against Adolf Hitler, that stood against tyrannical regimes in East Germany, that stood against... We have the actual values when you see everything that's been pulled over your eyes, when it's been pulled away, you're starting to see a world where, wait a minute, that I've been in the grip of the Nazis, what are the Nazi conspiracy theorists all about? And now you're looking at us and it's like, you're very, very heavily into, I'm becoming a nutty conspiracy theorist as the media describes it. I'm starting to wake up to what the truth is now that all the shit that's been pulled away from my eyes. And you realise there's people that have been around doing this, you know, nutty conspiracy theory thing before you even knew what was really going on. And you see that how it is that we have got a great appreciation for the internet. This is going away. This is temporary, as far as I can understand it. The internet is a tool. Our value is humanity itself. As for the man-made machines that humanity creates, these are merely tools to, you know, do our best. And we've not been doing a very good job to ensure the well-being of humanity, but we've been overwhelmed suddenly and unexpectedly, and even by people that we most trusted, you know. And what the internet has been a great help for us, but you have to understand the internet, when it first was around, the internet itself was a free speech platform. You didn't get a thing called a free speech platform on the internet because the entire internet was a free speech platform. Now I remember way back in, must have been 1998, something like that, I was in like a chat room. Chat rooms were not filled with paedophiles as the media made out back then. It was actually filled with people, you know, speaking the truth about the systems that they live in openly with one another. And there was no children online, because back then there wasn't even touchscreen phones. And if you wanted to type into a chat room before there was things like voice chat, you had to be able to use a keyboard. And the only children that could use a keyboard were children that were studying things like secretarial studies. And generally, they didn't have a computer in their home. They had like a Mega Drive or a SNES or, you know, some games console that didn't have a keyboard. The last thing they would do for entertainment and social purposes would start tapping away at a keyboard in chat rooms. But the media version of events was, oh, the chat rooms are going, there's people in chat rooms that are going to rape your children. No, there's people in chat rooms that are going to wake up your children to what the people creating that false propaganda are actually up to. So yeah, I used to go into chat rooms, and never did I witness any situation where people were trying to groom children or try to rape children, because there was simply no children online. That was the simple truth there. So when the media were creating these stories, they were attacking those people who were doing their utmost to, you know, wake up people to the horrible situation that you're now becoming aware has been going on for quite some time while you were sleeping. So I used to go into chat rooms, and it appeared in Yahoo chat. Yahoo is now collecting your IP address, and everyone in the room is like, it's a new message to appear. Why are they collecting our IP addresses? The weirdest people engaged in conversation. And it was always a conversation. It used to be before like smoking bans and the various restrictions on pubs. You know, you'd go to a pub and you would talk about, oh, Margaret Thatcher's a fucking witch. Do you know what she's done now? That now is conspiracy theory to talk like that in a pub. Maybe not against Margaret Thatcher, because that's the past. But your present day Margaret Thatcher's are destroying the rights of the workers. No, that's a nutty conspiracy theory. And there's people who claim to be working class who haven't noticed all this apparatus that's been installed over our heads, who seem to, you know, it's convenient for them not to notice the world that they've left us in the shit with. some of them, you know, working on the side of the stormtroopers, you know, and they claim to be, you know, in allegiance with the working class. Bullshit. See all these politicians that go on about, oh, how it is we support the military and the service that they do to your country. You know, some of those politicians regard those soldiers and policemen and various people they're always, you know, sucking up to. They actually regard those people to be, you know, cattle that's going to go and get slaughtered to protect their regime. You know, they don't regard them as anything, but they've got lots of nice things to say about them, you know. So the stormtroopers are very deceived, you know, and the stormtroopers was, oh yeah, I'm on the side of the working class, but how can you be on the side of the working class and on the side of Margaret Thatcher at the same time? Does that make sense? Oh, it's not Margaret Thatcher because it's your Margaret Thatcher, but it's still destroying the rights of the working class, gig economy, etc. Or it must be the fault of the people in the gig economy, mental illnesses and various other, and there's absolutely no corruption going on within the state whatsoever, is the official story. But the stormtroopers are not on your side. That's all I'm going to say here. So Yahoo started collecting IP addresses, and that was the first, wait a minute here, we're just having conversations online about, and now they want to monitor who's saying what, and the IP address was the way in which we did it, but we were just engaged in casual conversations. No big deal, we weren't sort of, you know, this is how you create a grenade, and this is how you blow up Osama bin Laden's base, or Tony Blair's base, or whatever it would be. You know, we're just, you know, telling the truth about what's really going on in the political system, which was an inconvenience to media corporations who were creating the watch out for paedophiles in chat rooms slander, you know. And that was the first, you know, signs of the internet in its modern sense coming into, hoving into view, you know. The internet was a free speech platform. It was the last bastion of free speech is what it was being called. Because back then, you know, the European Broadcasting Union had taken control of all the media apparatus of Europe. And all you got to see was the shit that was on TV and listen to the bullshit of the people that believed it. And since you're surrounded by people that believe the bullshit on TV, you were intrinsically being gaslighted to misbelieve your own experience, that there was nothing democratic about this state of affairs. So the internet was like a wonderful thing that was first introduced, because at last all of those people who were aware it was bullshit could talk to one another for the first time since the events of 93 happened. That was obviously a problem for the people who are now expanding to annex Ukraine and claim, oh, it's Vladimir Putin's fault that the 2014 Euromaidan was sponsored by the Germans, you know, and their European allies. You know, and we're talking about the annexation of Britain, the annexation of France by Germany back in 93. It's the truth. You might find it difficult to comprehend. You're living in Nazi regime Europe today. And they've always been around, even before, you know, when my grandmother was still alive, and these were the people that fought the war against Adolf Hitler. Those people were around, in the shadows, but they came right out the fucking woodworks in 93 and established this new European thing. And, you know, as John Major said when he introduced the surveillance state, if you don't like it, leave, saying this to the peasantry. We couldn't afford a holiday, let alone to emigrate, you know. So the internet was kind of like the first time since those events that we ordinary people could actually speak the truth to one another. You know, because when you're walking about within the world, you know, it's, can I say anything to this person about what I've witnessed? Because when I've said things to other people about what I've witnessed, they've been very hostile and destructive towards me for simply speaking the truth. So it became very difficult to work out, you know, could you be yourself living in the world as it is amongst people round about you? Online, you had that sort of, well, I'm just a person that's online. You didn't specifically hide, but it was just the automatic thing that you just used a nickname to go online, because everybody was doing that, that's what you did. But you weren't hiding who you were, you know, somebody, who are you, what's your name, where do you come from, you want to meet up, you'd be like, oh, right, yeah, okay, I'm Joe Bloggs, I'm, and, you know, there wouldn't be any. But then, what we discovered in that internet was that there was people deliberately trying to get into our lives, pretending to be our friends, who were ultimately concerned about the fact that we were practicing free speech, which, you know, told the truth about things that they were having to conceal. The early crimes against humanity of the European Union. the fake democracy, which is now divulged, it's in the open now. You would have to be willfully blind to the slavery you're committing against the people of Europe to, you know, pretend you don't know that there's no democracy, no democratic basis for it. Therefore, we the slaves have no say in that system of slavery which we're forced to put up with. And the people who have did this will need to pay reparations before this is ever going to be repaired. And that means when they're, you know, passing off the wealth that they're stolen from those people that have enslaved to their children, then that wealth does not belong to their children. That wealth belongs to the people that their parents stole it from. And their parents are still alive right now. This is not about the transatlantic slave trade 400 years ago. This is something going on right here, right now. If your parents are wealthy and they're European Unionists, any money they hand to you belongs to us. And you might not like that state of affairs, but if you can understand the basic morals of it, that has been earned through enslaving the people of Europe. You're in receipt of something you know to be stolen from those people who are not your fellow countrymen, not your neighbours, not your friends, but your enemies, because you've taken what belongs to them for your own self. You know, if you've got European Unionist parents, the first thing you should be doing is donating whatever you inherit to the cause of those people who are opposed to the slavery of the European Union. That's simple morals. You don't need to be politically involved to understand that. And you don't need to be politically involved to understand that there are peoples that have no morals. They're going to do what's in their best interests, but, you know, considering where they got their money from, when they're telling you in the future, oh, you need to support the regime in fighting the Russians, you need to support the regime in fighting the Americans, you need to support the regime in... No, no, no. You've decided to steal our wealth. It's your problems, not ours. Because the problems your parents created for us, it's actually your parents' problems that has been created for us by them. You're keeping those problems going by continue to withhold from us what belongs to us, our own labours. And there's people who are now dead for the lack of their own resources stolen from them. So that's the simple truth. So when the internet came about, you know, it was a great thing because we could finally speak to one another about what was really going on. Obviously a problem for the mainstream media. Those chat rooms, when the media propaganda just wouldn't work, they sent in people, paid to post sort of people in chat rooms. These are like live, you know, it's not like forums, it's like, or comment sections in a video. It was like live, you know, you would type, somebody else would type, and it wasn't some sex bot, you know, it was real people just engaged in conversations about anything, you know, but a lot of the times things would come up, yeah, the corruption of the system, openly spoken about on platforms and the internet, whereas before it used to be openly spoken about in pubs until it became very unpopular. It became a conspiracy theory to speak the truth about the Margaret Thatchers of the modern day. They accused the workers of being the Margaret Thatchers. Well, they sat there raking profits in from the workers they enslaved. That's how fucked up their system of slavery is, their propaganda is. And there are many that will sit there and stare at their televisions, and when they hear me, they say, I don't want to listen to that, and they'll switch off. Now, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not a TV celebrity. I'm not wealthy. I'm not privileged. I'm not reading from a teleprompter. They would prefer to believe fake characters on their television, telling them lies, than ordinary people telling them the truth, because they don't want to listen to it. And that's their neighbours suffering. And they don't care. And they're going to expect the big society to assist them when it's constructed of the people they betrayed. So, you know, that's the way it goes. There's two countries here, two nations, a group of people with the ethnicity to reject Adolf Hitler, to reject the East German Stasi, to reject European Unionism. And then there's the ethnicity that believes the Jeffrey Epstein style files are about people having sex parties in a luxury Caribbean and private island when it was about vote rigging. They're living in a massive deception and they don't want to hear. Thanks for listening. And I hope it benefits you to be wise to what's actually going on in the world. For all these virtue signals pretending to give a shit about anybody but themselves. You know, not one of them are going to start creating broadcasts like this to alert people to what's going on. some of them are going to just turn it off, and some of them are going to do their best to shut down such conversation, is one way as it's become. The early internet was two-way conversations between ordinary people. They invaded those rooms. Anytime a conversation, which they would call nutty conspiracy theory now, started up, they would predictably start distractions and shouting and bawling and all sorts of, you know, things that could predictably happen whenever you mentioned, you know, Tony Blair or the various evils that the system's involved in. When you started discussing that, suddenly there'd be massive distractions to prevent that conversation from happening with such predictability that you know it was deliberated and you know that these people were sent in an organised fashion to destroy chat rooms. You don't get chat rooms anymore. You maybe get like a chat room on Facebook or something like that. But that's kind of, it's a very restricted form of conversation you can only have with people that Facebook permits you to see and subscribe to on Facebook. And it's the same on YouTube and the very, like, even BitChute as well, you know. So what happened at that stage was that many people realising that chat rooms were no longer a means of communication because there was evil, bad actors, as are described in human rights circles, who were involved in, you know, people are being enslaved, they're being subject to systemic injustices, and there are people deliberating to prevent them even discussing it amongst themselves. That's how messed up the world is, and you're wondering, how did nobody tell me this? That's how messed up the world is. And you don't know it, and you're staring at your television, you believed it. You know, like, you're welcome, you know, you're welcome. If you're not thankful for what I'm doing, it's like, well, fuck you, you know. These people are never going to produce audio casts that will wisen people up like this. And some of them will try and destroy your ability to hear audio casts like this. This has been the history of the internet as it's progressed. So YouTube was the first video sharing platform. And the first content creators for YouTube were basically, you know, just telling it like it was. You know, doing their own sort of like television show sort of thing, you know, telling the story that wasn't being reported in the media. YouTube was kind of compelled to shut that down. So YouTube used to have the most liked videos at like the front page. What are the most liked videos on YouTube? They would call it anti-government stuff, but it was just telling the truth about the system. Which was, you know, if the government was as good as they claim to children that they are, then it would have been pro-government stuff, you know, but it just happens to be it was anti-evil stuff. And if the government's involved in loads of evil stuff, then, you know, just by nature of the fact that you're denouncing evil and the government's evil, it becomes anti-government. Just oops-a-daisy, stop being evil and people stop being anti-government. But the government refuses to take responsibility for crimes against humanity. And by the government, I mean the people that are involved in it. You know, because when you talk to a policeman, you say, are you the government? They say, no, I'm not the government. You speak to a politician, are you the government? No, I'm not the government. Every single member of the government is claiming the government is not them, but they're in charge. That's, well, it's like a mental illness that's normal. Suffered by that, the system, the people in the system. So, YouTube was kind of, they used to show the most liked videos, most watched videos, most popular videos, most commented on videos, and they were all what these people, these terrorists would describe as anti-government. And they were anti-evil, they were anti-corruption, they were anti, you know, things that should never go on in a legitimate democracy. And they were reporting that what the media was not reporting. So the YouTube, for whatever reason, this is way before Google took it over, shut down that thing where you could no longer know what people were watching on YouTube instead of seeing what others were watching on YouTube. You know, to see what was most, they stopped that and they just, like, instead it was like, oh, this is what YouTube recommends you should watch. You know, the whole front page of YouTube changed, so you didn't even have a clue what people were watching or commenting on or liking or subscribing to on YouTube. Because what they were doing was subscribing to what the terrorist regime calls anti-government. And that was just like another step in the road. Eventually Google took control of YouTube, and Google is a case in and of itself. But I'll just finish off what I'm saying about YouTube. When Google took over YouTube, it became even worse. There was a thing called Kony 2012, where basically rich, wealthy, powerful oligarchs had manufactured a big documentary thing that was being published all over the BBC, all over the European Union's broadcasting union thing, you know, Kony 2012, a big thing. And what it was about, so this guy Kony, and he leads the Lord's Resistance Army in Africa, and they were basically encouraging white children they were instilling within white children war within the hearts of those children to hate the black people that supported Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army. And when people seen that there was people combat engineering stuff for children on YouTube being promoted by the BBC, the whole comment section was just, for days and days on end, well, this is like front page of the new YouTube, which was banning us from seeing what we were actually interested in and pushing their own bullshit. That was the front page of the new front page of YouTube. And when people, like, for days and days, the comment section just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling as people complained vehemently about what Kony 2012 was all about. And eventually a new mechanism was introduced to YouTube where YouTube could stop people commenting on videos. And that was a novelty to the internet. Because when people were speaking comments, it was denouncing what the system, the control freaks, the system of slavery, was wanting people to believe. And what they want people to believe is the absolute rejection of reality in favour of slavery is normal. And anyone that opposes it is somehow the terrorist, despite what the system of slavery is doing every single day. Do you know how many people have been killed in Ukraine at the hands of the European Union? And then they would claim, you know, there's a terrorist, one guy, like, I don't know, bombs a stadium. He's like a lone guy, you know, and he bombs like a stadium, 23 people die. And the European Unionists are like, oh, that's terrible, there's a terrorist there. I'm not saying it's a good thing that a guy should just walk into a concert and kill a whole bunch of people himself in the process. But the people behind the European Union, well, they don't risk their own life. Well, they're not just slaughtering 23 people, they're slaughtering their own soldiers. You know, soldiers that they've manipulated and brainwashed to support the regime to go and slaughter loads and loads of people. And the European Unionists are not committing suicide in the process of slaughtering all those people. And they've got a cheek to talk about some guy that killed 23 people at a concert. The amount of murder that these terrorists are committing every single day, it's just a terrorist regime. And that's just Ukraine, and that's what's going on in wartime. It's quite visible. There's stuff going on in peacetime to people that don't even know they're being slaughtered. Through, if you read the Genocide Convention or the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, you'll know what genocide is, and it's not Jews dropping bombs in Gazans. It's something that governments are doing in peacetime for their own populations. The population that they've got under their control, they are killing them. They're killing them by very subtle, diplomatic, bureaucratic means that are not immediately visible to people that are staring at televisions. You know, they think, oh, genocide only happens when the Jews are dropping bombs. They don't talk about, you know, the Russians dropping bombs as genocide, but they're very determined to have people associate genocide with the Jews, because in the world that existed before the European Union, the Jews were actually an impressive a group of people who rejected the genocide of the Nazi Germans. And now in the European Union there's massive amounts of emphasis to encourage the population to perceive Jews and genocidal maniacs in the same thing, despite what the European Union is doing on a constant basis, as though, you know, what Benjamin Netanyahu did to the Gazans is nothing like what the European Union did to the people in eastern Ukraine before Russia was even involved. And then what it's doing to the population of Europe, if you don't support that terrorist regime, they're killing you off by, you know, bureaucratic means that you might not even notice. That's genocide, as described in the Genocide Convention. Stealing your children and passing them off to people who are more politically convenient, and creating a false narrative that you're a threat to your own children. When the reality is, it's their political system is a threat to everyone. and they're taking people's children simply because those people are politically inconvenient. There's a word called BAME, B-A-M-E. It's an acronym that stands for Black and Minority Ethnics. During the war on terror, this highlighted a policy that was going on. Where they're taking so there were some Muslims that were concerned that Muslim countries were being bombed, and there were some Muslims that didn't give a shit. The Muslims who were concerned that Muslim countries were being bombed, if they could be identified, they had their children taken from them, and they were passed over to the Muslims that didn't give a shit. That's ethnic cleansing. That's what the European Union, Tony Blair, that was the political policies going on in European Unionist countries during the war on terror. These are described in the Genocide Convention. This is just another crime against humanity that the European Union has committed against people of Europe. Albeit that these guys are Islamic people, but and black people, and minority ethnic people. So, like someone in Lithuania who is ethnic Russian is an ethnic minority there. Someone who's Irish in Britain is an ethnic minority there. Just because it says black and minority ethnics don't assume that you are not some ethnicity that could have your children stolen from you because it's politically convenient to a regime that doesn't care about right and wrong. It cares about power, and that's all it cares about. And all those people that join the system, you know, maybe some people will go into the army and they'll be there for 4 years and it's like, fuck this was not what I expected. But, you know, there's people that go into the army and they never really leave, you know, they'll sit there 4 years and they're still, you know, pals with their commanders in various ranks, and then there's people in the army, it's like, what the fuck ought to do with you? You know, the people that have joined at the hip with the system, these people are not innocent. And they would kill me in order to protect themselves from being brought to justice for crimes against humanity going on rampantly across the European Union. And the European Union claiming it's not a state, because for the European Union to be a federal state, from the very beginning in 93, when the Federalists were on air saying, well, yeah, we do want to dissolve the sovereignties of the European countries, but it'd be for an even better thing, you know. That was a crime against every single country. That was a crime at the time. And the military was supposed to protect the sovereignties of these countries. They failed to do so. And now men in the military are saying, it's the Jews. You know, we're now in Nazi Europe. No, I'm not a Jew, just in case you're wondering, I'm not Jewish. But I do recognise the iconic meaning of a Jew during the Cold War. Eastern side, Western side. Before the Slavs were getting it in the neck, the Germans were getting it in the neck, and the Jewish Germans stood up and says, that's fucked up. And because they did so, Adolf Hitler tried to annihilate them more. They were the very opposite of the genocidal maniacs are being made out to be by the BBC's coverage of Gaza. That's the Geneva Convention that's being violated. The Genocide Convention is what's being violated every single day during peacetime across the whole of Europe. Every single day. And they want to distract you to say, it's the Jews. This is what the media propaganda is doing. I'm not a political Zionist either. You know, I don't support the existence of the State of Israel. I think Jews should be entitled to be there. But to control a country that is mostly Arabic, you know, it's just, they fit in as an ethnic minority, not as a dominating power. That's just my views on it. You know, I don't want to see the annihilation of the Jews or anything like that there, but, you know, to have that much power and you don't even, you know, naturally belong there. You might say, oh, in the Bible it says, it's like, well, let's have your DNA test prove that you're related to Abraham, because there are lots of people walking about with, like, I mean, if Arnold Schwarzenegger was to say, do you see the SCH in my name there? That's a Jewish name. There's a guy called George Soros. His original name is George Schwartz with that SCH thing, you know, Claudia Schiffer. There's people that claim that is a Jewish name. George Soros' name was originally George Schwartz, and he changed his name because he claimed it was Jewish and was discrimination against Jews in Germany. The thing is, if that's a Jewish name, then why does Hitler have someone with a Jewish name in his cabinet, Franz Schwartz, who was the chief treasury minister or something like that? You know, it's not a Jewish name, it's a German name, and there's people that were Nazis that have dressed themselves up as Jews. So how do we know who's who? Do you live by the morals that are, you know, thou shalt not kill, the Ten Commandments, for example? Do you live that in your daily life? Then you might be a Jew. But if you're only pretending, fuck you, mate. God's Law is a subject to area in its own right, you know. He's on camera admitting that he and his father went round collecting Jews, trying to capture Jews for the Holocaust. And even if he was Jewish, which I really don't think he ever was, he betrayed the Jews by supporting the Nazis during the Holocaust. I mean, if you were British and you stood with the European Union to destroy the nation of Britain, are you still British? No, you're a European Unionist. You betrayed your country for that. That's what I'm saying. You used to be working class and you joined a system that's betraying the working class. Are you still working class when you betrayed the working class? Are you going to do something for the inside to make it all better? Are you going to get corrupted? Or you were never really on side of the working class. You were looking after number one and you didn't give a shit what happened to your neighbours. And you're going to claim to be part of a big society and how everybody should give you what you want in this big society. But when it comes to you being called to account for what it is you've lent your support to in the past, well, there's no point even getting on about what you want out of the big society, considering you betrayed the big society to get what you wanted, you know. So anyway, back to the internet. So I was telling you about Kony 2012 and how it is, so I was going to get to Google, you know. So Google took over YouTube and it became even worse. Google was a thing in and of itself. So the original internet, there was a few search engines, you know, but there was four main ones. 99% of searches were being carried out either by Lycos, AltaVista, Excite, or Yahoo. That was the four search engines. There was other ones, but for the most part, Ask Jeeves came along later. That's became Ask. But you know, in the midst of all this sort of thing, you know, this big organization called Google started, well funded. They had like really, really wealthy corporation that came out of nowhere. When you searched on Google, the results were really, really quick, and they were extensive. And you could also do things like search this particular subdomain. You know, you could search for the .gov.uk, but only PDF files that are in the gov.uk that have this quoted string within it. And, you know, you could do really complex queries and it was really, really fast results. Compared to Yahoo, Excite, Lycos and AltaVista, Google just blew them out of the water. Where did they get the money for all those computers to work so quickly like that? I mean, that wasn't algorithms, as I realise now. You know, that this was, you know, Google had massive amounts of funding at a time when the internet was free. The BBC at the time was pushing for a thing called net neutrality. So when you went to the old search engine and you typed cheese on toast, you didn't get any, oh, this is a recipe from the BBC. You get a big pile of chefs from all walks of life, various different, you know, there's a chef here, there's a chef there, there's a chef there, and, you know, or there's a company that's selling toast and beans. You know, something as uncontroversial like that, the first 20 results would have been just, you know, from places you'd expect to get that information from. The BBC, the media corporations, felt that there was no neutrality on the internet. And what they meant by neutrality meant that all the media corporations should be the first results that people get to see, and as for what they're actually looking for, well, it's not very neutral to provide them with what they want. It's only neutral to provide what the media want them to see. So that was what was going on at the time that Google was being introduced. And it was still, it was a great search engine, I have to admit. It was a really, really good search engine, just very dubious, you know, looking in hindsight. So at the same time, China's building the Great Firewall of China. That's kind of what's going on in your country today. They'd announced it when China was doing it because it was all around the internet when things could go viral before it was so restricted as it is today. That China was basically blocking its own people from hearing anything outside of Chinese internet, blocking its own people from broadcasting outside of the Chinese internet unless it was sanctioned by the regime. That was big news. Google assisted the Chinese Google assisted the Chinese Communist Party in Communist China, which was like a let's just say like Russia is not flavour of the month in the European Union. In the world that existed during the Cold War, China was not flavour of the month. In the world that has existed since the Cold War, China has still not been flavour of the month. Google assisted the Chinese Communist Party to commit crimes against humanity, against their own people, by building the Great Firewall of China. That was the first thing I got into. Google did this, right? And then they were introducing email. So, you know, I could go to Yahoo, Lycos, Alta Vista. There's tons of websites. Do you want an email address? Here, have a free email address. 50 megabytes of email. You can get an inbox filled up to 50 megabytes and it'll still remain there. You'd 50 all to yourself. And you're like, well, that's standard. That's what you get. Google came along, 2 gigabytes. And you're like, I need a Gmail account then. I need a Gmail account. Well, you're not allowed to get one. Because what Google had basically did was, like, if you were like a policeman or a nurse, what you might describe as an essential worker in this post-COVID lockdown thing, you know. If you were an essential worker, Google would give you an account just by proving that you were an essential worker, proving you were a cop, proving that you were somewhere within the regime. Google gave you a free Gmail address with 2 gigabytes. And if you knew somebody that was attached to the regime, they could sponsor your application to get a Gmail account. You get 2 gigabytes, not 50 megabytes, but 2 gigabytes of inbox. And it was, oh, that's the account that I need to get. And you know, at that point, I'm starting to wake up. Like, this Google was like a political player, you know. And then what I was noticing was like the search engines always existed. Like Lycos and Alta Vista stopped producing their own search results and just parroted off whatever Google was saying. I believe that Excite kind of disappeared through other means. I don't think they do a search engine now. I could be mistaken. And Yahoo was maybe the only alternative to Google. Until Yahoo eventually, you know, came to the point where they're kind of doing a mix of like their own search engine and Google search engine at the same time. Such that Google was, it doesn't matter where you go, what search engine you look for, Google results are always going to appear in it. And when you're going onto websites and stuff like that, have a wee look at the, you know, the bottom left hand corner of like a laptop or a desktop. The browser shows you what it's trying to attach to. If you can get the sort of logs for what your browser's doing, you'll see that it's actually connecting to Google and you're just visiting a website about beans on toast, a chef's website. Google is monitoring what you're looking at on the internet anywhere you go. Oh, he was on that website 2 minutes ago and now he's on this website. Now you might think, well, that's great because somebody could be on a website trying to find bombs and people could be on a website trying to find others who are well aware of how corrupt the regime is. And they don't like that. They've been deliberately engaged in trying to destroy people's basic free speech about what's being done to them by these systems of slavery. While they themselves are using bombs left, right and centre. And there's no bombs involved and people just practising free speech, which they're utterly opposed to. Not through their words, but through their actions. They're speaking louder than their words. So the modern internet is not your friend. The early internet was, because it was genuinely a neutral platform before, you know, media corporations pushed for net neutrality, which was the very opposite of what it was they got. So now if you look for cheese on toast, you find like, oh, the BBC has a recipe, oh, the Times has a recipe section, oh, this media corporation here, and you'll be lucky to find anybody that's just into making cheese on toast. You know, there must be some chef somewhere that is the absolute genius of the gastronomic world. This is the, you know, if you're into food, there might be some guy that's just the guy to turn to. If you want a cheese on toast sandwich, this guy knows what he's doing. You'd expect that search result to be number one. No, it's a media corporation. And that's what's became of search engines. And they, you know, in the process of all this, so I'm going to forums and stuff like that because the chat rooms have been destroyed by, you know, a combination of media slander and, you know, what you'd call right-wing extremists invading the room, preventing any conversation. Although they would call us the right-wing extremists falsely accusing us of being Nigel Farage's and their fake version of Donald Trump as some sort of rapist that goes to Epstein Island rather than someone that collects evidence that the vote rigging was going on. You know, the version of reality given by the media is pretty much an agenda. It's not the truth. And the people that support it must to some extent know it, and they're not extricating themselves from that situation. So, you know, what would you say? They're just following orders, because that's what they said at Nuremberg. So what you're realising, you're living in an Nazi regime. If it doesn't get destroyed, it's going to destroy you, it's going to destroy your children if they're lucky enough to survive. They invent illnesses. Like autism wasn't an illness. You know, there was no such thing as autism. These diseases were invented after the European Union took control of our countries. It's similar to the case of cancer. You know, it's sort of like cancer was around before the European Union. Cancer was kind of sort of oops-a-daisy invented by Marie Curie when she started farting about with radium when it was first isolated as an element in the periodic table. But you know, it never was a disease before that moment when people realised that you could kill people with tumours, and then even claim that the cure for cancer is that you could claim the cause of the tumours is the cure, is the treatment. They're killing people, you know. So the cancer was never a thing until Marie Curie, you know. And then they're saying, oh, back in ancient Egypt, this pharaoh had cancer. Did you see this in the media? They're covering things up. And what is the, oh, you're smoking cigarettes, that's the cause of cancer. Oh, you're eating pie suppers, you're eating chips, you're eating greasy foods, that's the cause. Oh, you're obese, that's the cause of cancer. No, the cause of cancer is radioactive pills and being bathed in radioactive fields by people who claim that the treatment is not the curse, but in fact the cure, when it's the very opposite that's the truth. As soon as you're diagnosed with cancer, the last thing you want to do is be near radioactive sources, because these things cause the tumours that kill people diagnosed with cancer. And I like Wise Manor, there's been new diseases. This is before COVID-19. Autism. Someone that's deemed to be mentally ill, and say, so this is science. Give me the definition, the scientific definition of what autism is, so we can identify what it is. Tell me what it is. And then, so well, there's an autistic spectrum. And say, yeah, but what is it? Well, how could you identify that someone is or is not autistic? Well, what is the scientific, clear definition of what this is? I don't know. So you've diagnosed like a whole ton of people with autism, but you can't even define what it is. Basically, in your opinion, these people should be discredited and not listened to and not allowed to live proper lives, because you've diagnosed them with a disease that was only invented after the 93. You're criminally insane. Those people are mentally well. You know, my understanding of this fuzzy notion of autism is that there are people who are born into a world where they expect it to be the way they're told it's going to be, and they have problems accepting the fact that it's not the way it is. And they have assistance in having problems accepting the fact by people around about them telling them, no, you're a good boy. You should believe the government, even though it's murdering people. You know, inside them, they know that it's murdering people, but they're being encouraged to believe lies by people who will help them off a cliff. That's about the nearest I can come across to a clear definition of autism. But the people who are using that are just using it to say that person's unimportant. That person's not an essential worker. And they're criminally insane. The original psychiatric prison, because they're prisons, they're not hospitals, they're prisons, they're places of incarceration for people who have never been found guilty of any crime. And, you know, there are stories saying that people have, you know, tried to claim mental illness in order to get out of crimes that they've been accused of, you know. But they're like most people that are languishing in these systems. Have not actually been, you know, implicated. They've just been inconvenient, you know, and they've been tossed into the bin, basically, the loony bin. And these prisons were first invented in Britain by Bedlam Manor, as it became. I don't know if you've ever heard that word bedlam to describe, and everything's like nuts, you know, it's all like as mad as a box of frogs. Well, Bedlam is after Bethlehem Manor, which was like one of those feudal overlords created this prison where they would fuck about with people mentally inside and do mental experiments on people. You know, like Sigmund Freud examining the psychic apparatus. This is, you know, the spirit to which you pray and the realities of what it is you're praying to that's being concealed from you. And there's all kinds of like psychological practitioners engaged in all kinds of trickery. Sigmund Freud was doing his experiments against children in Nazi Germany before he fled to Britain in 1938, before the outbreak of the war. Claims to be Jewish. Seems to have a German name, you know. But it was the British that invented these things years ago. So there was this diplomat that went to France to strike a deal with the powers that be in France on behalf of Britain, and he came back with a bad deal, and the king basically threw him into Bedlam Manor, and it was from there the whole practice of psychiatry and fucking about with people mentally. These people are themselves like willfully deceived not to see that their governments are maiming, slaughtering all over the world, and they complain about some terrorist that killed 23 people in a stadium while lending full support to their government every time they denounce anyone that speaks the truth about what their government's up to. And they're going to tell anybody that they're mentally ill. These people are deluded. And they've got prisons for people that have never committed any crime. Incarceration without trial. Another human rights violation going on at the hands of the EU. And they would like to say, but we need these things. And no, they need those things. The victims of the crimes against humanity need to have these things gone. You know, if they want the surveillance state, then they could go and live inside one of their own prisons. Incarcerated without trial in a surveillance state, because that's what they want. That's what they're claiming they want for themselves and everyone else. But let's suppose what their will and desire to have these control systems was only affecting them. Do you think they would actually want that? They don't want to be the prisoners. They want to be the masters. This is why they're called the master race. So, you know, the forums that I started going to after the chat rooms got destroyed, well, slowly but surely, people started entering those forums with their, you know, bigotry and misogyny and their, oh yeah, I'm one of you, you know, it's kind of like, I oppose the European Union, because that was like a big thing for me. So I oppose the European Union and I hate women. And it's sorry, what? I support the European Union and I hate black people. And it's like, wait a minute, how does this even relate, you know? My concerns about the lack of democracy, the slavery and servitude, the crimes against humanity being committed. You're saying you're on my side, but you've got these like racist, misogynist tendencies and you want to like stick with me. This was like mud being thrown, but you know, like the chat rooms were being destroyed by people distracting from any conversation where people were speaking the truth amongst one another. Well, they started doing that in the forums. Now, unlike, you know, advanced chat rooms when static websites were the normal things, you know, the forums could be run by anybody that could, you know, get a free copy of PHBBB, for example. So it'd be quite possible for you to have a role as an administrator or a moderator in a forum. And that would allow you to see the IP addresses of the people who were engaged in all this. Oh yeah, I'm on your side and I hate black people. Try to, you know, join up to make you look like like the Nazis they were, or the Nazis that they still are. Very deliberate, you know, it was so predictable that they behave like that. And these were like forums dedicated to, you know, people that wanted to speak freely about what was really going on, you know, free from all the people saying, oh, you're a nutty conspiracy theorist, you know. And people were coming in, you know, pretending to be the so-called nutty conspiracy theorists that they were against, to pretend to be on side and say, oh, by the way, we hate black people, and by the way, we hate women, and by the way, we hate, you know, in order to get people to, you know, associate, you know, conspiracy theories with misogyny and all this, you know, if I was a woman and I was coming across people that hated, that loved conspiracy theories and hated women, I would reject conspiracy theory. It's very, very well designed. It's very, very deliberated. These people are paid. So when I got a moderator's position in one of these forums where they were infiltrating, I looked at the IP addresses, and I looked up the IP addresses to see where are these people posting from. These were IP addresses that were given out by Nominate in the UK, which is IARA's partner within the UK. They were given out to local government offices. These people were posting from local government offices, you know, the support for conspiracy theories and their misogynistic values. They were deliberately placed there from local government agencies, or, you know, from higher agencies that power over local governments. They were operating from local government IP addresses to destroy internet forums, till eventually the forums became useless, and the only thing that was left was Facebook, which I knew from the outset was controlled. So just as I mentioned Google, I'll need to mention Facebook as a very specific example. This is before Instagram, and Instagram's worse. Instagram invented, patented the idea. So when you're on YouTube, right, and you type a comment, you know, and you're known to be, a truther, you're known to be a conspiracy, you're known to be someone whose free speech they need to suppress. What you do is you type into YouTube, your comment appears on YouTube, and you're like, that's great, my comment arrived. And this could be in a video about cheese and toast, never mind some controversial conspiracy theory video. It just happens because you've been tagged as someone who has no right to free speech on YouTube, on Instagram, on any of these platforms. So they're all sharing that data of who's allowed to speak and who's not. And you type into YouTube or Instagram, it's Instagram Meta that invented this, they've patented it. You type in your comment appears, great. Log out and go to the same video that you typed that comment, and where's your comment? It doesn't exist. You know, it hides the comments. That's not the newest comment. It's not the latest. So you switch that. Where it's going, zero comments. Your comment was not actually. They falsely reported that your comment's been delivered, and it's not been. False information by YouTube. This was invented by Instagram. This is called interference in the privacy of home and correspondence, specifically interference in correspondence, which Instagram is up to its neck in. It has a patent demonstrating its complicity in crimes against humanity. YouTube has engaged in this, and other platforms have engaged in this. So for the most part, if you've been believing the media's version of what a conspiracy theorist is, you have to realise that what the conspiracy theorists have actually been saying has been censored from you. You've never heard it from our perspective. And all you've heard is the perspective of an enemy that hates us, wishes to destroy us, wishes to deceive you and the children from the cradle to the grave. And the conspiracy theorists are in fact free people who are being enslaved, desiring to live in freedom, desiring to liberate their society from enslavers, just through discussion that they're preventing from happening through very nefarious means. But let's get back to Facebook. My first indication of Facebook being dodgy was when it started, because immediately I was into computers, and sometimes I'd read computer security bulletins, and it was a novelty because Facebook was spyware in the form of a website. Now remember, there used to be an internet where the whole internet was static web pages. It was getting more sophisticated now, you know. And prior to Facebook, spyware was basically like software you'd have to install onto a machine before you could use it. Facebook was spyware in the form of a website. It was a new security issue. And the people that were behind Facebook was governmentalist organisations. And it's like, this is the government engaged in spying programmes against domestic espionage was a crime to commit against people in your own country, but acceptable in the situation of war against another country. These people are engaged in acts of war against the domestic population when they're engaged in espionage. This is normalised now because they've been doing it since 1995 in Britain. There's always been a wee bit of, we need to spy in these Soviet spies, you know. But to commit these crimes of war against the domestic population as a general rule, you know, full-scale surveillance, that's a crime against humanity. It's the government committing crimes against the domestic population that holds in chains. And those people who are complicit in these crimes against humanity, they want us to shut up, and we won't shut up. So they need to shut our conversations down. They need to censor our ability to speak. That's why you've got these things I'm describing patented by Instagram, which is a clear and unambiguous violation of the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, which the UK, as a sovereign country, signed up to. Most countries in the world have signed up to it since 1957, openly violated by corporations hosted in these countries, which are no longer fulfilling their obligations to the human race. That's kind of what World War II was about. And these people are thriving in a world that's becoming more warlike. I don't support the dictators. And I've got nothing to lose. They're taking everything from me. They're preventing me from getting anywhere, you know. So what do I have to defend, you know? So Facebook, that's what I found out when it started up, you know, and I was like, stodgy as anything. It was just a website, you know, that was being run by creepy government organisations. Novel form of spyware. But you just don't visit that website because it's dodgy as anything. And then I'm watching people round about me. You're on Facebook. What's your Facebook? And I said, no, I don't use it. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. If I'm into computers and there's people in my society that are getting into this, you know, they're deliberately asking the government to commit acts of war against them. So I went to investigate it and I joined like groups and stuff like that. I didn't like link up, oh, this is the friend of my friend, that's the person I went to school with, anonymous as I could be, just joining groups to see what it was like. And then I realised as people, you know, more expanded into this whole Facebook this, Facebook that, Facebook the next thing. I even came across someone who said, I don't trust people who aren't on Facebook. And it was like, I don't trust people that don't, that I'm dubious about Facebook, you know. But try relating, you know, your experience of what's going on with people who have got a deliberate intent to prevent your perspective from being shown. Well, their perspective is blasted everywhere about how wonderful Facebook is. You're living in a world where the lie, you know, they used to say that the lies will travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its boots on. The lies today in the modern world travel around the world many, many, many times while the truth is still putting its boots on. And the people who believe the lies will shoot the truth as it tries to put its boots on. That's the world that we're living in today. So eventually I joined Facebook properly and linked up various friends accounts and stuff like that. And then I realised how it worked. You know, it's like they don't need to propagandise to me directly. All they need to do is propagandise all my friends who will propagandise to me. And if these people don't have any firewall to prevent bullshit entering their minds, there's no point in believing people that watch the media. Because even if they're not lying, they couldn't even tell truth from falsehood if it slapped them in the face with a vaccine that was not safe and effective. And the pride, you know, the humiliation, you know, within these people that must realise that the vaccines were not safe and effective and it was the innocent who were falsely accused of killing Granny. And the people that have falsely accused us, they must know within them that they made the wrong choice, and their pride and humiliation gets in the way of their acceptance of the situation that we're living in. And it's a dangerous situation. And the internet is becoming more extreme. In Britain, they want to introduce digital ID. In the European Union, they want to introduce European digital ID. And that is basically, the official story is it's to protect children from being raped. You know, it couldn't possibly be that they want to prevent people engaging in free speech that tells a story about the regime the way it actually is. It couldn't possibly be that, because the regime's perfect and nobody's allowed to be permitted to say anything that tells the story of the regime for what it really is. You know, that's what all the censorship and distraction and propaganda has always been about. And now these same people are saying we need a digital ID so that we can, you know, identify who it is that's raping children. But by raping children, you know, when you understand what they're really all about, who it is that's telling the truth that's inconvenient to the tyrants that are holding you and me in a system of slavery that nobody has ever consented to. Thanks very much for listening.